It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network, coast to coast. Shout outs to everybody tuned in and locked in all over North America. This is when the show gets started every single weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to our super producer and host, Ryan Hickey. He's holding it down for us in New York City. Happy Friday to you, wherever you're at. Whatever you're doing, wherever you're going, I don't know. None of my business. I just hope you're safe. I hope you're well. I hope you're good and all of those amazing things. I'll be hanging out with you for the next 4 hours. Thank you for listening live on your local Infinity Sports Network affiliate. Thank you for listening on the free Odyssey app. Thank you for listening on SiriusXM channel 158. And thank you for tuning in on your local Infinity Sports Network affiliate. We're going to have ourselves a show. Of course, we're going to talk football, college football, NFL football. Then we got some basketball to slide up on in here. We got baseball to get into. We got a lot of things to discuss here over the next 4 hours. Of course, we had Thursday Night Football last night. Dallas Cowboys beating the New York Giants. What else is new? It's their birthright at this point in time. We're going to talk about some of the games that are going to take place this weekend and Sunday as we continue on here in week 4 of the NFL season. Somebody like Justin Herbert limping around. We'll get into that. We have a good Sunday night football matchup between the Ravens and the Buffalo Bills, two teams that are just both trying, hoping to knock off the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll get into that. Got a grudge match. We got Minnesota and Green Bay. Are we going to see Jordan Love back on that field, or are we going to just see Sam Darnold marching up and down the field with Aaron Jones? Speaking of grudge matches, we got Cincinnati and Carolina, Andy Dalton against his former team. So we got a lot to get into there. And then, of course, as we continue on with the college football season, we talked about this last night. We got Alabama. And then we have the Georgia Bulldogs. This should be a fun matchup. I'm going to take the local Georgia Bulldogs. And then we have some other ranked teams that are going to get into it and add it. A matter of fact, we're going to have a chat in a few hours. Pete Futek is going to join us from College Football News. I'm going to ask him about Oklahoma State, when they can get that running game going. Kansas State. I'm definitely going to ask him his thoughts on Matt Sluka and what happens next for UNLV. We'll talk some Notre Dame. Hugh Freeze is, I'm sure he's somewhere complaining right now. We'll get into that. So we got a full show. If you want to participate, it's simple. The phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. You can also find me online. I'm on the internet. I'm everywhere. I am at JR Sport Brief. If you follow me on Twitter or X, you'll already know what the hell we're going to talk about, or at least some of the things. Ryan Hickey in New York City, how are you on this Friday, September 27th, 2024 years after the death of Jesus?
I am doing well. Well, thank you for asking. Very excited. 24 hours roughly from the biggest game in college football so far this year.
Right.
Pumped. I am pumped for it.
I know. So you're more excited about that than Penn State and Illinois going to, I don't know, 15 overtimes?
Well, if that goes 15 overtimes, I will be dead. I promise you that.
Oh, my God. Did you watch the last one? What was that, 3 years ago? They played 9 of them?
Oh, yeah. I remember exactly where I was. Couldn't believe it.
Oh, were you there? Were
no.
You
at Happy? Oh, no. That'd be even worse. No, I was at home on my couch. Well, on the floor. In disbelief. That was a rough one. Well, that was the only time in my life as a fan I have rooted for the game to end over my team winning.
Wow.
It was so bad. I said, at this point, just end the game. I don't care who wins. End the game. It was, I think, what, 20-18, I think, in 9 overtimes.
Yeah.
No one
close.
Scored.
Yeah, it was pathetic. I didn't see the game, but I certainly heard about it that night and then the day afterwards. I think we all know. So what are the odds of that happening again tomorrow? I think slim to none. So I think you and your heart and the health of your heart, I think you'll be better off tomorrow, okay?
I hope so. I really do hope so, JR.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that game as well. Well, not that one, not Penn State and Illinois.
Come on. I know you have an eye. You have maybe 1.5 eyes on Georgia, Alabama.
Yeah.
Maybe half an eye.
Just one
quick peek.
Nah, I'll be sitting down watching that game for sure tomorrow. I'm talking about Georgia-Alabama. I'll be watching that game. And, you know, we talked about it yesterday. And we've had even more comments from the coaches as they get ready to go at it. Kirby Smart trying not to go 1-6 now against Alabama. It would be a disaster if he did so because Nick Saban isn't there. And Kirby Smart, he says, you know what, even though Nick Saban isn't there, even though they have a new head coach in Kalen DeBoer, he says, yeah, some things are still the same.
They're different defensively, for sure. You know, obviously the offensive staff and defensive staff changed. But there's remnants, I mean, because the quarterback's the same, so you keep some things the same with them. And, you know, most of college football is doing something similar, so there's some similarities into that.
Okay, Kirby Smart, enough about that. What about Nick Saban not being there? You miss him? You're going to miss him, right?
I don't expect it to be strange. I mean, that's just the normal course progression. I think it's strange going back there sometimes because I lived there for – our kids were born there and lived there for 9 years and had such great experiences there. But we had that in COVID. It was more strange then because of the stands.
Oh, yeah, whatever. Coach is saying coach things. Throw the other guy, throw the other team flowers. The art of saying nothing. Very different than a specific cornerback for the Cincinnati Bengals who wanted to tell everybody how the offense for the Washington Commanders is run like a college team. The players haven't mastered the art of saying nothing because the players want the glory. They want the microphone. They want to talk, most of them. Or really only when it benefits them. That's why they all have podcasts now. But anyway, let's hear from another coach. I'm sure Kalen DeBoer is going to say something ridiculously insightful, or maybe it will be entertaining. This man is getting thrown feet first into this rivalry between Alabama and Georgia. Alabama used to beat the hell out of Georgia. And then Georgia said, we got titles. And then they beat them again last year in the SEC championship game. I cried. Well, I didn't really cry. Not at all, but I was disappointed. Either way, Kalen DeBoer, he says, yeah, I'm from Washington. Yeah, I'm from the West, but I understand what this game is about. I understand the beef. I understand this situation.
Getting into our SEC opener, so it's exciting for us and our program. And obviously, with Georgia coming in here, ton of respect for Coach Smart and everything he's accomplished in his career. And obviously, they're at Georgia with all the success they've had.
I need some trash talk, man. Come on. Nobody trashed. Hickey, there hasn't been no trash talk. I'm disappointed.
That would have been great. Nick Saban, the king of saying nothing, the king of rat poison. Don't listen to any positive things people say about you. Imagine Kalen DeBoer just goes, yeah, we're going to beat the brakes off Georgia. They don't scare me. They're not that good. We're great. That would have been a tremendous dichotomy between going from one polar opposite to the other. Unfortunately, though, Kalen DeBoer, Kirby Smart, both don't take the bait here.
Yeah, we got two coaches right now that are they're choir boys.
Smart.
Yeah, they're not going to say anything. And I think you're picking Alabama and I'm picking Georgia. I think Georgia's going to pick things up from the past game against Kentucky when they look like crap. I think the offense is going to find something. I think Alabama facing off against their, you know, first real big time opponent, they're going to show up now. This is SEC football. I got the Bulldogs. I don't care. Brock here, Ladd this way. They're going to make some moves on offense tomorrow. They're going to keep Alabama at bay. I think we got a close one. I'm looking forward to it. And no disrespect to all my folks listening in Alabama. I'm going with the Bulldogs to win it all. I'm looking forward to that. And speaking of Alabama and even here in Georgia, oh, my goodness. Hickey, some of the floods this morning. There is a golf course about 5 minutes from here. This sucker is under water. Okay? The golf course became a swamp. It's all over the city, too. Like, you pick pockets, there's people flooded out, and it's crazy. We didn't get the wild wind, but it rained for like 2 days. I want to say at about noon today, people went outside like they've been stuck in a house for 2 days, which they have been.
Very scary. Glad you're doing okay. Hopefully, obviously, everyone that's been impacted is doing okay. But some of the videos and photos you shared with me today is just, it's insane. how much water there is. Like I said, the flooding everywhere, it's Mother Nature, man. She could be very, very scared when she rears her ugly head.
Yeah, it was bad last night. Shout outs to everybody down in Florida and Tallahassee. Everybody, and even in South Georgia. South Georgia got smacked around by the time I got here to North Georgia and Atlanta and Central Georgia. Things relaxed just a little bit. But we got plenty of people now here in the South and going into the Mid-Atlantic and the Midwest and dealing with crazy rain and crazy flooding. And it's affected some of the games. We knew earlier this week that the New York Mets and Braves, they had to go ahead and cancel that game, or their two games that they had remaining. They'll play a doubleheader on Monday unless the games aren't necessary, highly unlikely. But then this even touched on football. Appalachian State was going to take on Liberty, and Liberty was probably going to beat the living hell out of them. But despite that, they're out on the west side of North Carolina. They had to cancel the game. Take a listen to this from Queen City News.
All right, just to give you an idea of the severity of the flooding in our mountain counties, take a look here. This is a live look over App State and Boone. You can be able to just see how wet those roads are, how much water is still there. And we've also just learned that the App State football game against Liberty has been canceled right now. It is not being rescheduled.
Yeah, they're going to maybe try to tack it on at the end of the year. Or Liberty wants to, because Liberty is hoping to get a playoff spot. Not that it's going to matter. But they want that game back. App State, not so much. The score probably would have been, I don't know, 40-3 if they were to go ahead and played it tomorrow. So they canceled the game because of the conditions of the field. And it's not just baseball. It's not just college football. The Denver Broncos, they've been hanging out here in the eastern part of the country from earlier this week. They just beat Tampa, surprisingly. The Denver Broncos did. It's not a mistake. The Denver Broncos beat the Buccaneers. And so they stayed east instead of going back west. They stayed at a resort in West Virginia because the Broncos take on the Jets next. I know Nathaniel Hackett gets to stand on the opposite side of the field against Sean Payton. I know Sean Payton, that's a dream come true, as much as he hates the guy. Think he sucks. Well, he does, at least. They stayed in West Virginia. The Broncos had to practice on an indoor tennis court because everything outside, newsflash, was flooded. This is an NFL team with gigantic human beings having their walkthroughs on an indoor tennis court. You think this is what the Broncos signed up for when they said, let's go ahead and stay east instead of going back west? I don't think so. And so shout outs and much love to everybody out there having to deal with, I guess, what is now, I don't even know if she's still a tropical storm. She's still a storm. Helene is a pain in the ass. I can't wait until she dissipates and just gets the hell up on out of here. Anyway, happy Friday. I'm glad you're here. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. When we come back on the other side, you were going to talk about a game that did take place last night at the Meadowlands in New Jersey. The Dallas Cowboys went out and beat the New York Giants again. There's a lot going on with the San Francisco 49ers. They got injuries. They got a player who wasn't happy with his pants. I will explain. We got injuries to the Raiders, including Davante Adams and Crosby, two of their best players. Hey, speaking of New York, we got an angry player in New York who wants to go back to Philly. We got an angry Chicago Sky player. Who else could it be besides Angel Reese? I'll explain. We got a lot to talk about. I told you Pete Futek is going to join us from College Football News. There is a breadth of things that we will discuss here over approximately the next 4 hours. Congratulations, you're here at the beginning. 855-212-4227. We're going to get into the Cowboys and some of their injuries on the other side of the break. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief Show coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Yeah, I'm classy. I'm classy on a Friday. If I wasn't here right now, I'd be outside being real classy. We were in an ascot and have me a... Is that classy? Hey, you know them from a long time ago, the guys used to, maybe the women, I don't know. Remember the cigarette, the holder on it with the long stick?
Yes, that's classy.
That's classy?
That's very classy.
Where can I find that? I don't even know. eBay?
Oh, yeah, you definitely find that. Amazon, maybe even.
What do I Google? Cigarette, holder, long stick. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I look like a flapper.
Yeah, okay. There you go.
I only see women holding these things, man. What am I? Okay.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Well, Halloween is around the corner, so I don't know. Not that I'm going to be a flapper for Halloween, but yeah, I want to look classy. Get an ascot and a cigar. That might be better. And walk down the street like Hickey when he listens to, what's the Jadena song? I'm a classy man.
Yeah, classic man.
Classic man. Yep. Trying to be a classic man. Like Jadena and Hickey. Anyway, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Before we look ahead to some of the week four games that we have coming up, and we'll talk about it, I got to give you an update on the game that took place last night, because not only did the Dallas Cowboys beat the New York Giants in what was a pathetic offensive showing for the Giants, what else is new? The Giants are allergic to the end zone. They beat them 20-15. Dak Prescott had two touchdowns. CeeDee Lamb had a 55-yard touchdown. And that wasn't even the biggest deal. The Dallas Cowboys improved their record to 2-2, but unfortunately they had some injuries. DeMarcus Lawrence went down with a foot injury. And then one of the best defensive players in the entire NFL, Michael Parsons, also podcast. Hickey, have you ever listened to this podcast?
Outside of the clips on social media, I have not.
Yeah, me neither. I'm not listening to him. Anyway, Michael Parsons went down. He was going for a sack, and one of the New York Giants offensive linemen fell on his leg. And so Michael Parsons is going to be out maybe two weeks to a month for the Dallas Cowboys. Take a listen. This was an update this morning from Ian Rappaport on the NFL Network.
My understanding is that the initial diagnosis was a high ankle sprain for Micah Parsons. He's going to get an MRI today. When he was talking to reporters, did not provide much of an update, wanted to wait till the MRI. So we are going to get that today. Generally, high ankle sprains are 4 to 6 weeks. But if this is a less severe high ankle sprain, then perhaps he will miss less time.
We don't know. Bottom line is, he ain't going to play in the next game or the game after that. Dallas Cowboys are up next against the Steelers on October 6th. So there's some time there. The Dallas Cowboys have got some time between their next game. But not having Micah Parsons, not having Deron Bland, Trayvon Diggs was out there cramping up. He needs to drink water, eat a banana, I don't know, have a pickle, something, I don't know. Needs those electrolytes in his body. The defense is going to have some issues, which they've already had. Let's keep in mind, they played the New York Giants last night, but this is still a Dallas Cowboys team. They looked at the Saints, and they got blown out. And they looked at the Ravens, and they let them get off to a hot start. I mean, they have to, quote-unquote, get it together. And not having Michael Parsons out there, one of the best rushers, quarterback go-getters in the entire NFL, is certainly going to affect them when they take on the Steelers. I think we all know that Michael Parsons is not going to be out there chasing down Justin Fields, assuming Justin Fields is still the starting quarterback for the Steelers, which I believe he'll be. And also, this really sucks for the New York Giants, a team that has now fallen to 1-3. Their only bright light on the season has been Malik Nabers out of LSU. Everything else has just been disastrous and ugly for the New York Giants. They were pathetic to watch. Like watching them just going like, hey, they need 3 yards for, I don't know, a first down on fourth down. And the wide receiver doesn't even say, hey, let me try to run five past, you know, the line of scrimmage, 5 yards past the line. This guy's stopping right before the line. I'm like, what are you doing? They can't run the ball. They can't throw the ball. Malik Nabers, he hasn't even played a quarter of a season. This guy needs a vacation. Last night, in a losing effort, Malik Nabers had 12 receptions, 115 yards. So far this season, He already has 386 yards receiving to go along with three touchdowns. He's the first player to have at least 25 receptions and three touchdowns in his first four NFL games. And with those 35 receptions as a rookie, only Puka Nacua had more, and that was last year when he had 39. Malik Nabers, I'm sure this man already wants to be traded from the Giants. He's probably like, oh my God, I got to do this all year and then wait for Daniel Jones to leave? So I get a real quarterback, and he's their only real option at the wide receiver position, and he's still putting up these numbers. He's burning the defensive backs. He's doing all the work, even so last night at the end of the game, trying to haul in a pass and keep his feet and toes in bounds. This man hit his head on the grass. He was knocked out. He was concussed. Ian Rappaport, he knows everything, I guess, or everything. He also spoke about Malik Nabers on the NFL Network. What's going on with his head?
The star rookie for the New York Giants, really one of the high-volume targets on the Giants, one of the high-volume targets in the NFL. Another huge night last night. You saw that last play, went down right on the sideline, unable to catch that pass. Head hits the turf. He was officially very quickly diagnosed with a concussion. Posted an Instagram message this morning that he is doing well. But obviously, we do not know the severity of his concussion. We do not know how long he's going to be out. Every player is different. The way every player responds to a concussion is different. So he now will go in the NFL's concussion protocol. And when he is healthy enough to return, he will do so.
Let him take his time. What are the New York Giants playing for this year? They got a record of 1-3. Daniel Jones is just on a sinking ship. Their next game is against the Seahawks. This Giants season is a complete waste of time. We might as well just pack it up, pack it in, and get ready for the NFL draft at this point, because they're done. They're cooked. This is an evaluation period. And the stupid, well, not the stupid defense, but the poor defense for this team. And they're the ones who got to carry them all a season long because they can't score to save their lives. I don't know how Giants fans sit down and watch that. It's just sad, pitiful, watching them trying to just get yardage, man. Can't get a first down, can't do nothing. At least the Dallas Cowboys have life in their season. Somebody else who has plenty of life, especially after a victory. Everybody's favorite owner, Jerry Jones. He was on 105.3, The Fan in Dallas and the Metroplex. And then, did he tell a lie? He said that he was impressed by the New York Giants. What a liar. Listen.
I was very impressed with the Giants. I thought their quarterback was better than I thought he was. I thought they were solid in the offensive line. That's better than I thought they were. They were a tough matchup. I thought we did a heck of a job defending their run, and we needed to. And, of course, their quarterback is a load. But I thought they had a solid, I mean a real stay, the Giants, solid game. We responded to it, won the game. I'm tickled to death.
Man, that's the second craziest thing that he has said all week. The New York Giants defense was good. The New York Giants offense was pathetic. They were pitiful. They were beyond lethargic. They were passed the hell out. This is the same Jerry Jones who earlier this week had the nerve and the temerity to say, hey, by the way, we're in the same pack as the Kansas City Chiefs. That's where we've been. Whatever Jerry Jones is eating or drinking or partaking in after these football games, I would say I want some, but I don't. Whatever he's doing, I don't want it. Because whatever stupid juice he's drinking is can't be good for you. Or maybe it's something else he's doing. I have no idea. The Dallas Cowboys, as I told you, their next game is up against the Steelers. At least Mike McCarthy, you know, he's happy about what took place. He's not a dummy. He's not dumb enough to know that he's not going to get fired. But he did say this was a good win for us all.
That's really the first four-quarter game we've played. I mean, we're, you know, it was a complimentary football game. You know, I wish we'd have been able to drive the ball more offensively. I, you know, just felt like we left our defense out there a bit much. You know, that dead long swing right before the half, and then, you know, they came right back here in that first drive in the third quarter. So, you know, I thought that was very challenging for our defense and for them to continue to fight. But I think the biggest thing was, you know, we were able to, you know, frankly, I feel like it's the first game I called, you know, for four quarters.
Oh, dear. Mike McCarthy knows he's getting fired at the end of the year. Let's listen to one guy. He's getting paid $60 million. He is the calm that is the storm. Calm in the storm for the Dallas Cowboys. He's the quarterback. Dak Prescott, not knowing that DeMarcus Lawrence and Micah Parsons are going to miss time, Dak said, yeah, we beat the New York Giants. No big deal.
It was huge. Yeah, after obviously losing two, especially at home, coming on the road, first division game. Division wins are always tough. As I said, then you add on the road before a long weekend. Puts a better taste in our mouth. But at the end of the day, as I've said, even after those two losses the past 2 weeks, it's a process. So we're not going to get complacent. We're not going to get overexcited about what we've done tonight. It's about building, and it's about figuring out what we can do better in all phases. But it's a lot easier to do that with the win.
Oh, that game against the Steelers is going to be fun. I want to see if the Steelers can grind them into the ground. That'll be fun. The Dallas Cowboys are 2-2. Their soap opera of a season continues on. And the New York Giants, well, they just suck. And good luck to Micah Parsons and also DeMarcus Lawrence in their respective recoveries. The Dallas Cowboys are going to need them if they want to make the playoffs. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. And even if the Cowboys make the playoffs, we know that they'll be eliminated. But anyway, when we come back on the other side of the break, we're going to talk about a team that's used to eliminating the Dallas Cowboys. And they are dealing with some issues of their own, especially on the injury front. I'm going to tell you what's going on with the 49ers as they get ready to take on the New England Patriots. And then the Raiders. It was all good just a couple weeks ago, right? Wrong. I'm going to give you an update on two teams that used to play in the Bay. Only one is left now.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network, coast to coast. Right before we went to break, we talked about the game that kicked off a week four of the NFL season. Yep, already week four. It is already, Hickey, how about this? It is almost October.
That is crazy. I feel like we just were talking about Labor Day and like how is September? How is the summer over? How is the fall here? And now it's like, oh, wow, October's here already?
Yep, a couple of days. What is it, like next Tuesday or something like that?
Something like that. I have no idea.
Who cares, right, at this point? It is Tuesday. It's the first. Anyway, as long as we can get up, I guess that's all that matters. So week four of the NFL season started last night between the Dallas Cowboys. We told you about the injuries to both DeMarcus Lawrence with his foot, also Micah Parsons. Don't know how long he's going to be out. Could be anywhere from, you know, 2 weeks to a month. We'll find out soon enough. But we do have some unfortunate injuries to another NFC team that is, well, competing for a championship. And they can't get it together right now. It's the 49ers. They're going to take on the New England Patriots this Sunday. I guess that's the saving grace element of it because the Patriots absolutely stink. I mean, if you got to throw Drake May out there at the end of the game, and you know things are not going well. This is a team in transition. The 49ers, they're trying to win a championship. They beat the Jets to open up the season, and then they lost to Minnesota. They just lost to the Rams. Christian McCaffrey is on injured reserve. High ankle sprain, issue with his Achilles. We found out earlier this week that he went to Germany to seek out additional treatment options. And people typically go to Germany for, you know, things that are not approved here. Procedures, drugs, what have you. So we don't know if he got anything done, if he was just checking in with a doctor. But we did get a little bit of an update, just a little bit. John Lynch, he spoke on KNBR and he gave us an update why Christian McCaffrey was in Deutschland.
It was flared up, bilateral Achilles tendonitis, and so we needed to quiet it down. So the plan was to give it the time to do that, and then at some point, in a thoughtful way, to ramp him back up. So now Christian's back here, and at some point we'll get back. You know, we'll have to hit certain markers, and we'll try the ramp up. And, you know, God willing, the thing has quieted down, and we can build him back up in a really smart and thoughtful way. Of course, we want him back. He's a game changer for us, but we want him back healthy, and so we'll take the necessary time for that. How much it takes, I don't think anyone knows right now, and we'll start that process, kind of reconvene now that he's back and see where he's at, and we'll get a plan together. That plan's been in the process of being made, but we'll put that plan to action.
I can't even say he took the words out of my mouth. We don't know. He doesn't know. Nobody knows when Christian McCaffrey is coming back, and unfortunately for the 49ers, just over the past week, they've dealt with a variety of injuries. Javon Hargrave is out for the season. This man tore his triceps. Curtis Robinson, he just went down with a knee, tore his ACL. And then the beginning of the week, we learned that Brock Purdy had to go get an MRI on his back. Thank God his back is okay. He's just sore, and he'll play. We learned that George Kittle was dealing with a hamstring issue. He's going to play. But then another offensive weapon, Deebo Samuel, is questionable with a calf issue. And Trent Williams, as big as he is, one of the best offensive linemen we've had in the NFL, maybe ever. Well, matter of fact, ever. He's dealing with an illness, and then his toe was hurting. Damn. The 49ers, come on. This is crazy. Hickey, if the 49ers lose this game, they fall a 1-3.
Like, if they lose this game, they fall to 1-3, and a lot of those injured guys are still, well, at least in the case of CMC, a long ways from coming back, and even the guys that are banged up and playing are still a long ways from being fully healthy. That is time to hit the panic button. Time to sound the alarm.
I guess we're opposite here. The Cincinnati Bengals suck, right? You still feel some type of confidence that if we get to the end of the season, that they can go ahead and turn things around after having not won a game yet. I feel that way against the 49ers. If everybody is healthy, I still think they can get into the postseason, right? I feel different. You think they're cooked?
No. I'm not saying the season's over if they lose on Sunday. Okay. But I'm saying it's time to get very nervous because, again, if you're losing to a hapless Patriots team, because of injuries, and like we said, some guys are questionable. Maybe they can play, but still, they're not getting healthier. Like, you're not waking up Monday morning now and Debo's back, and Purdy's back, and Trent Williams is back, and we just heard from John Lynch. I mean, who the hell knows when Christian McCaffrey's coming back, he's coming back.
Right.
That's the concern, is just, like, it's bad, and you're losing to bad teams, and you're not a week or two away from getting your guys back.
And did you see that they're next biggest offensive weapon and star had a beef with his coach today, reportedly over his uniform shorts? Did you see that with Brandon Ayuk?
I did, and everybody who watched that video got to see Brandon Ayuk drop his draws in front of everyone at practice.
I'm saying, what are we doing? I thought he said he got all of that out of his system. I thought not dropping his draws. I thought he got all of the...
Just to clarify, of course.
Yeah, just to be very clear. I thought he got all of the nonsense out of his system when he was working on his contract. So if you haven't seen the video, I'm sure you could find it online. I'll retweet it in the break. It's like Kyle Shanahan went up to him and was like, hey, man, why you got on red shorts? The shorts today are black. And then they're having a whole conversation. This thing, the video I saw is like 90 seconds. And the next thing you know, he's dropping his pants and changing his shorts after they had a beef. Like, do we have nothing better to do? Like, Kyle Shanahan, Hickey, if I'm Kyle Shanahan, and I don't know, maybe this is an extreme because I'm not there. I don't know the protocol. I don't know who he's punished privately and how he doesn't. It's not worth it. But if he was going to continue to be more of a jerk, like, I'd sit him out for, like, the first series. That's probably extreme. But, like, why are you arguing with the coach about your shorts? Like, you ain't got nothing better to do?
That is really, that's like petty high school stuff, which I was going to say, if you want to punish him, make him run laps like high school coaches do. You know, take a lap. Keep running until I say stop.
Like, this is an adult, though. This guy, they just gave this man $120 million. If I'm John Lynch and I'm sitting up in my office and I'm looking down, I'm looking at this guy, I'm going, this is a guy I gave $120 million to? He's acting like a high school kid? Can we do better? Brandon Ayuk is 26 years old. Not that it would even make sense if he was 21 or 22 in the league. We got a 20-year-old running around for the New York Jets now. But, I mean, sheesh. You got all these guys hurt. I just rattled them off. Your quarterback has a bad back. It had back soreness. Your star tight end was dealing with a hamstring issue. A Deebo Samuel, wide receiver slash running back slash do-it-all, is dealing with a calf. Christian McCaffrey is going to Germany. Your coach is stressed the hell out, and on a Friday, the one fight that you want to pick with him is about the color of your shorts? Come on. This is when you need somebody like Trent Williams, who's dealing with a toe issue, to walk over to him and put hands on him and go, what are you doing? Just change your damn shorts and let's practice. What are you, five? I'm going to whoop your ass in the locker room. What are you doing? That bothers me, watching a grown-ass man act like a child on a football field over his shorts. No, I'm trying to be an individual. I'm trying to be cool. Wear my red shorts. Stop it, man. Anyway, if he wanted to wear, well, they were wearing black shorts. Speaking of black, let's talk about another team. They wear all black. Silver and black, to be exact. They're the Raiders. Not good. Well, I can't say not good like the 49ers, because the 49ers are not good right now either. But the Raiders also have a record of 1-2. The Raiders thought that they were doing something when they went out there and beat the Ravens. No, sir, they're not good. Having conversations about who's the starting quarterback is still Gardner Minshew. Aiden O'Connell will take the job from him soon enough. And the Raiders are going to take on the Browns. We might as well call this game a toilet bowl. And the Raiders, they're going to be shorthanded, because their best player, Davante Adams, is out. Injured hamstring in practice yesterday. Max Crosby is out. He's dealing with a high ankle sprain. This guy never misses a game. He never misses a snap. The Raiders just lost to the Panthers, and now they're about to lose to Deshaun Watson. This is going to get bad. This could get ugly. And because Antonio Pierce, the new head coach of the Raiders, because he's a competitor, he actually said he's excited to see, you know, who steps up in these guys' places.
What's the expectation for Max Crosby to play on Sunday?
He'll be out.
Adams.
Out.
You just mentioned, you know, two of your best players are not going to be in this game, Michael Mayer, tight end. Opportunity for some younger players, other players to step up. And
we're excited about it. I mean, you know, great opportunity. Harrison Bryant, right? Shanker. Brock Bowers. Feel good about those three. And then, you know, talked about Devontae, but, you know, you got, you know, Jacoby Myers, who we really feel good about. And obviously, you know, in most teams, he'll be their number one. And it's a great opportunity for him to go and show that as well. But collectively, nobody needs to be Devontae Adams. I don't need another Devontae. There's only one, right? I just need the best version of Jacoby Myers, Trey Tucker, T.J. Turner, and the rest of those receivers.
Oh, man. Who walks in and says they want the backup? Who says that? Come on now. Jacoby Myers? Like, there's a reason why he's on the Raiders right now. There's a reason why he's, you know, the next guy that they expect to step up. Because this man, he ain't no number one. He's a number two. I mean, damn it, even when he was on New England, I mean, he was only the number one because they were a bad team. This is one of those games that you just take a look at and go, what's the score? Because God knows I ain't watching it. The Raiders and the Browns? No, thank you. I'll go ahead and pass on that one. Maybe Deshaun Watson can actually walk away with a victory. And the Raiders, they'll fall a 1-3 as they go through a quarterback carousel. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw Aiden O'Connell again. And then in the very next game, we see Gardner Minshew get the boot to the bench. And then who knows, maybe before the season is up, Davante Adams is just gone, traded. There were already rumors about, hey, how the hell all of a sudden did his hamstring hurt? Is he quitting? Does he not want to play? Is he trying to send a message to Tom Telesco, the loser GM for the Raiders that they got from the Chargers? How you pick up a guy from a losing team and say, this is the guy we want? I have no idea. It's the Raiders' way, picking up a loser, I guess. Davante Adams, make my day, please. Tell everybody that you no longer want to be a Raider. Move on. Let's make things interesting. It's been a rumor from before the season even started. Move Davante Adams to the New York Jets. How the Jets do it, I have no idea. The Jets are dealing with their own contract issues with a guy named Hassan Reddick right now. And matter of fact, there's even rumors about him and how the Jets might have to trade him away so maybe get something back in return. You know, let's talk about the Jets on the other side of the break. Let's get into Hassan Reddick, talk Davante Adams. I think the Eagles might be involved as well. We'll get into it. You're locked in. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, the Infinity Sports Network.